Hello, everyone. This is Fails and Fixins. I'm coming to you from the Digital Buzz Studios. And of course, I am your host, Dave Plow. This week, we're looking at something a little bit different. It's a campaign that doesn't seem like a failure until you get to the end results. So instead of showing you guys or talking to you guys about something where things went wrong during the campaign or people turned on it before they even got to the end product, this week we're looking at a movie that everything seemed to be going great for until week one at the box office. In the mid-2000s, Hollywood was a little bit worried with an increase in sales of widescreen, cheap TVs, and an improvement in home audio systems. People kind of quit going to the movies, and Hollywood took note. 2005, they had a record low box office. So coming into 2006, executives were just throwing anything at the wall that might stick. We had all kinds of movies, some of them good, some of them bad, just like any other year. But one movie in particular, really caught the movie going public's eyes, or at least it seemed to. And that movie was 2006, Snakes on a Plane. So today we're going to talk about Snakes on a Plane. I'm really, really excited about it. I loved everything about this campaign and I love the movie. For those of you that don't know, Snakes on a Plane is a film that starred Samuel L. Jackson, Juliana Margulies, and Kenan Thompson. And it's about a mob figure who has a witness that saw him commit a crime, right? So federal protection witness gets on an airplane in Hawaii, is taking the plane to Los Angeles so he can testify. There's an FBI agent played by Samuel L. Jackson on the flight. And also on the flight, there are snakes. Hundreds of poisonous, venomous snakes put there by the mob figure in an attempt to kill the witness. Not totally sure what his plan was there. It's been a little while since I watched the movie. But this plane's full of these snakes and it's poisonous. And the movie's called Snakes on a Plane. It stars Samuel L. Jackson. And that in and of itself got a lot of people excited. The story behind the movie also got people excited. So if you're not already excited, on board with a movie named Snakes on a Plane, then you might be on board with a movie that is written by David D'Alessandro, someone you don't know, but he was the vice chancellor at the University of Pittsburgh, and he came up with the idea of this movie after having read an article about World War II pilots having issues with legitimate snakes on their planes. Samuel L. Jackson, someone handed him this script. He didn't even read it. He saw the director attached, and he saw the name, and he said he was in. So you kind of know right away. If I tell you, hey, do you want to go see Snakes on a Plane? You're not going to go, what's Snakes on a Plane about? You're just going to be like, yes or no. You're either in or you're not in. And that's what happened with Samuel L. Jackson. Now, during a promotional tour for a different film, Sam Jackson was asked about this upcoming project named Pacific Air Flight 121. Now, Samuel L. Jackson cut off this interviewer and said, "Snakes on a Plane, man. We're totally changing that back. That's the only reason I took the job. I read the title." In another interview with Entertainment Weekly, I believe, he was asked about the name change, and he was like, or I should quote, "I was like, are you out of your effing minds? That's exactly what you want to do. How else are you going to get people into the movie? Nobody wants to see Pacific Air 121. That's like saying Boat to Heaven. People either want to see this movie or they don't. So let them know. If you're coming to see this movie, you're going to see a plane full of deadly ass snakes. That's what it should be called. Deadly ass snakes on a plane." That was a lot of hype already. So that was interviewers asking him about it. But what really took the internet by storm was a blog by a guy named Josh Friedman. And the blog was on a pretty popular movie blog site called I Find Your Lack of Faith Disturbing. And it was called Snakes on a Mother Effin' Plane. And the post went viral, at least viral by 2006 standards. It was all over the internet. People were like, wait, Sam Jackson in a movie called Snakes on a Plane. And they started making audio clips and fan trailers. Before this movie ever had a teaser still out, people were losing their minds about it. And word spread fast. Brian Finkenstein created snakesonablog.com, which was a fan site, and it was getting as many as 15,000 hits daily. And Cafe Press had listed at that time over 1,055 unofficial products inspired by Snakes on a Plane, 4 months before the release of the movie. So movies gain traction, people on the internet are paying attention, and a rough cut gets shown to film executives. Now, the film executives aren't dumb. They smell a little bit of cash in the air, especially after a down 2005, and they say, hey, this movie's got a PG-13 rating, but we've got Samuel L. Jackson, a guy that's famous for dropping F-bombs, and these people want to see these snakes killing these people. We should turn this into a hard R rating. So that's what they did. And at that point, Entertainment Weekly and a number of other entertainment publications referred to this as fan sourcing. So this is the first movie that's actually fan sourcing. And they're right. It was. They did something like 5 days of reshoots just to put in things that they knew the fans would like based off of what they were seeing off the internet. One of those things is a very famous line that I can't repeat on this podcast, but it's Samuel L. Jackson said, "That's it. I've had it. I'm tired of these mother snakes on this mother plane," which was lifted almost word for word from an audio trailer that some fans had made where they did Samuel L. Jackson impersonations and they cut out lines from other Samuel L. Jackson movies. And I got to tell you, as someone who was alive and paying a lot of attention to these things in 2006, it was amazing. You getting swept up in all the Snakes on the Plane hype was a lot of fun because the idea was so ridiculous. And Samuel L. Jackson at that time was pretty well thought of, at least in the circles I ran in with film nerds. He was pretty well thought of as a guy that wasn't turning down any projects, but always gave his all to whatever project he was in. So even if it's a terrible movie, you still got peak Samuel L. Jackson at that time. And that, mixed with the ridiculousness of this type of movie, got us very, very excited. In August of 2006, a few days before the movie's launch, it launched on August 18th, Veritalk, which at that time was a phone dialing company. They were working on phone technologies. They launched an advertising campaign along with the movie in production where fans could send semi-personalized messages in Samuel L. Jackson's voice to cell phone numbers of their choosing. And in the first week, over 1.5 million calls were sent out. I sent out probably five of those calls. One to my girlfriend, my now wife, and a couple to some buddies of mine where I would call and then I would pick which Samuel L. Jackson message I wanted to send. And then it had a list of names and you could pick kind of which names to use. You do it through a website. It was really neat technology. And my wife still every now and then reminds me of the voicemail that she got one day from Samuel L. Jackson saying it was from me. So it was a thing that worked. It made an impression on people. And the studios loved the hype. They were seeing hype everywhere. And as I said, it was all over the internet. It was inescapable. They were projecting an opening weekend between $20 and $30 million, which not huge by today's standards when we're talking Avengers or John Wick, things like that. However, 2006, that would have been a huge bump. The movie, however, didn't quite reach that mark. One thing that happened was the production company, New Line, they were worried about having early screenings, which is typically a bad sign. Most movies screen for critics early, be it a few days to a few weeks early. This allows the critics time to kind of pull their thoughts together and write their reviews, and tends to lead and snowball some of the hype. Well, they didn't do that for Snakes on a Plane, partially because there was already a ton of hype, and partially because they knew they didn't have a movie that critics were going to love, or at least they didn't think they had one that critics were going to love. So the studio kind of had cold feet about doing that. As a result, people who pay attention to movie stuff, people like myself, my friends, my crews, we saw that as a bad sign. And apparently so did other people because the movie made about $15.2 million, which coming in $5 million short. Word had it, fans in the theater were quite responsive. And I can tell you at the Thursday night midnight screening that I went to, the fans were totally into it. We were applauding. There were cheers. We said some of the lines that we knew from the trailers and that we knew were going to be in the movie. Had a little bit of a call and response. It was a blast to go watch it live that first night, especially that first Thursday. However, from Thursday to Friday to Saturday, there was a 10% drop. So you have your Thursday midnight screenings and your Friday screens. That's all lumped into one. 10% drop between that to the Saturday screenings, which is not good. Even worse is by week two, it dropped over 50%, and the second weekend only pulled in 6.4 million. Part of the reason could be that all the internet hype kind of died down. Also, part of the reason could be Rotten Tomatoes had it listed at 69%, where it still sits today, and Metacritic had it at 58%. So those are two movie websites where you go to and you kind of say, hey, I want to see this movie. What do people say about it? And they pull it up and they see those numbers. And if you're already kind of lukewarm to the idea, that's not doing anything to heat you up to the idea. Despite being the number one movie in America, it was considered a dud. And it basically had the box office earnings of a mid-tier horror film, which the original script, going all the way back to that thing that David D'Alessandro wrote, was a horror movie. It was a horror movie base. And I mean, they just kept the bones of it and ripped everything else out and rebuilt, but it still ended up in that same kind of area, that horror film opening. The box office for that weekend of 2006 was just barely up over where it was at in 2005, which not a really great thing when you had kind of record lows there in 2005. The movie, its legacy, it's been largely forgotten. That's why I had to explain to you guys what it is, because people don't talk about it much anymore. So what do you do if you're the guys that produce Snakes on a Plane, this movie that created all this internet buzz? First thing I do is I screen the movie for critics. I want people to know what they're getting into when they're getting there. Because everyone thinks, Snakes on a Plane, ha ha ha, funny, 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 right? Like, so it's a big joke. However, the movie is pretty good. I've seen Samuel L. Jackson and a couple other people say they think the movie wasn't tongue-in-cheek enough. I disagree. I think it hit a great balance between tongue-in-cheek and actual action horror stuff. It's hurt a little bit by some of the special effects. They're very dated if you watch it now. And at the time, we were in a period of time with movies where everyone was using these really bad digital effects for things, and they were getting rid of really nice practical effects. I think that happened on Snakes on a Plane to an extent, but really, there's some pretty bad effects in there. The movie overall, though, is still quite a bit of fun to watch. So I think one of the things they could have done, if they had taken a Home Alone style approach and done some early pre-screenings and then talked to the people coming out of the pre-screens about how much fun it was and how great it was, shown some of the audience reactions, they could have really continued to keep the momentum going and probably not had such a big drop week two, or maybe even bumped up that week one to that 20 to 30 million mark they were looking for. So once again, I think the thing to do would have been, you know, go ahead and hold some pre-screenings and then interview those audiences. It's something they did with Home Alone, and it's something I've seen work occasionally with movies, especially with movies that incite a heavy fan reaction. You see it with horror movies a lot. And with his movies Horror Bones, it kind of makes sense you would go that way. One of the reasons I brought this up is because this movie taught us a lot about early internet culture. Because the movie, the buzz, everything existed almost solely online. And then seeing the box office results come in the way they did was a reminder that online life is not the same as real life. And it's something we kind of know inherently today when we look at things. You go on Twitter, you know that nothing is the same on Twitter as it is if you go talk to people. Well, in 2006, we weren't totally sure about that from a marketing perspective. We didn't really know. We were like, okay, the internet's caught on to this. We need to go full in, do exactly what the internet says. And it didn't work. And that's part of the reason I wanted to look at it today, that and the fact that I want people to talk about this movie more. I want people to see this movie more so I can talk about it more because I love it so much. It really is a lot of fun. And from a movie going experience, it was one of the probably three best movie screenings I've ever been to. Just a ridiculous amount of fun. So have some friends over, have some adult sodas, and watch Snakes on a Plane if that's, you know, your guys' thing. I would suggest doing it. It's a great time, really great time. So that is it for this week's Fails and Fixins podcast exclusive episode. I will come back, and when I do, I will be here with another fail and another fix.